All right. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand for our final hymn. Let's open up to hymn 66. Hymn 66 for our final song this morning. Prior to the message, Sir Isaac Watts. Amen. He wrote a lot of good hymns of the faith in his day. He really did. And we're going to sing all four of 66. Seated, church. I love the words on that final stanza. It says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. How can Amen. We not give Him our all? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And as you're opening up to the book of Romans, this morning, this week, for what it's worth. What does the government in Africa use when it takes a census of all the monkeys in Africa? An ape recorder. Question. What do you get if you cross a chicken with an elephant? Answer. I don't know, but Colonel Sanders would have a lot of trouble trying to dip it in batter. Question. If a dog lost his tail, where would he get another one? Answer. At the retail store, naturally. Question. What is a twip? Answer, a twip is what a wabbit takes when he wides a twain, you silly wabbit. Question, why does the ocean roar? Answer, you would too if you had lobsters in your bed. Question, what has four legs and flies? Answer, a picnic table. Question, what is another name for a toupee? Answer, top secret. Top secret. Well, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1 this morning, church. And, it's so good to be a Christian. So good to cut up and have fun in the Lord.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 1 this morning, it's about to get serious in here. Amen? Because Romans chapter 1, if you know anything at all about your Bible, is one of the most horrifying chapters in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1. And let me say this, church, before I begin in Romans chapter 1. This past Friday was one of the saddest days in America's history.
Amen.
When the Supreme Court of the United States of America can change the definition of marriage, something is wrong. And God is going to do something about it. Mark it down. Because Romans chapter 1 makes it clear that when a nation turns their back upon God and turns to abominations and wicked practices and vile actions like what we're seeing in America, judgment is sure to follow.
Amen.
This morning, let this be a message of a warning to America to wake up before it's too late. Look with me here in Romans chapter 1. Paul gives the gospel. He says the gospel in verse 16. He's not ashamed of it. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning in Romans chapter 1. I want to give you four reasons this morning for the wrath of God. And the title of my sermon is The Wrath of God and Why. The wrath of God and why. Romans chapter 1, look up to me at verse 18. For the what? Wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That's Romans 1:20. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on the wrath of God and why. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage before us this morning, Lord. And how we thank you that verse 18 says clearly, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Oh, Lord, we cry out to the living God this morning for America. Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name to restore godliness to our government, to restore godliness to our leaders in America, oh God, to have mercy and send revival upon this nation before it's too late. Oh God, we pray this morning for America to come back to the living God upon which she was founded. Lord, if our forefathers, our founding fathers could see what happened at the White House this past Friday, they'd roll over in their graves, oh God. This nation was founded on the Bible and Christianity. Lord, we pray you'd bring us back to our finding roots. Oh God, we pray you'd save America from utter destruction before it's too late. Lord, we thank you that America is still in your hands. We're still sending missionaries all around the world. And your light is still shining, though it's growing dim. The darkness is growing thicker, oh God, in these last days. And we pray you give us wisdom as your believing people. Show us what we need to do to make it better. Oh God, use us for your honor and glory in these last days. And have mercy upon America. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, church, this morning. A most serious message on the wrath of God and why. I want to give you four reasons for the wrath of God this morning. Now, the wrath of God is not up for debate. The wrath of God is a proven fact. In fact, the Bible doesn't seek to prove that there is the wrath of God. It merely states it as being a reality. Yes, God is a God of love. But at the same time, God is a holy God. And he's a God of intense wrath when man violates his laws. His wrath is seen in the world and in his word. Why the wrath of God? Let me give you four reasons this morning. Why the wrath of God? First, the wrath of God comes because of man's rebellion toward God. The first reason I see here for the wrath of God is because of man's rebellion toward God. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen to me, beloved. Man to this day, for a majority, speaking of the world's population, is in a state of rebellion against their Maker. Do you realize today, church, we are the minority. We are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. We are the light that cannot be hid, that we need to let shine before a wicked world. But the majority of humankind this morning is in a state of rebellion against God. This is why the wrath of God will be poured out. I see three reasons for the rebellion of man against God. First, it's because of the nature of man's sin. Man is ungodly by nature and by choice. This is proven by verses like Romans chapter 3. Flip over to Romans chapter 3 for a moment, if you will. Look at verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are, what's the next word? All. All. Gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. God looked down upon the race of Adam and he saw a rebellious race. He saw a race that would not seek his face. Why? It's because of the nature of man in a fallen state. We inherit a sin, rebellious nature against God by birth, beloved. The sin of Adam and his sin nature was passed upon all men. And folks, you know it's true. Even as born-again believers, we have trouble serving God. Our flesh doesn't want to submit. Our flesh doesn't want to serve God. And that is because of the Adamic sin nature that yet exists in it. And it has to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or none of us will serve him. Now, the second reason for the man's rebellion against God. First, because of man's sin nature. Second, it's because of the nurturing of man's sin. Look with me in verse 19 here in chapter 1. In verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest, that's made known in them. For God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, listen very carefully, beloved. Because of the nurturing of man's sin, the suppressing nature of man is such that even though he knows the truth, he holds or suppresses the truth in a state of unrighteousness. In other words, God is made known. God is available to all people. But man, by nature, quenches those yearnings, quenches those leanings, those wooings of the Holy Spirit to come to God. You see, why? Because he nurtures his state of sin and rebellion against God. Look with me in John chapter 3. Go back to John chapter number 3. And look with me in John chapter 3. Watch what Jesus says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Somebody tell me, who is that light? Jesus Christ. Light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. That's simply saying they love sin more than Jesus Christ. You see it? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He's saying they won't come to me, because in order to come to me, they have to depart from their sin. You hear? You hear that? He says they love darkness and they choose to nurture that sin nature and to live in rebellion against their Maker. Now, thirdly, concerning man's rebellion toward God, it's because of the stubborn nature of man. Listen, man willfully suppresses the truth of God so that he may continue in his sins. Mankind is absolutely enslaved to sin apart from Jesus Christ. Man is hopelessly, helplessly lost and in bondage to the devil and sin apart from Jesus Christ. Mankind is absolutely enslaved to sin by nature. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And hold your place in Romans, coming right back. In Ephesians chapter 2, look what Paul says concerning the lost man. In Ephesians chapter 2, look with me at verse 1. And you, beloved, hath he quickened, made alive spiritually. You're saved. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, amongst whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, see that? By nature. It wasn't a learned behavior. They're naturally this way. The children of wrath. Children of what? We're talking about the wrath of God this morning. By nature, they're children of wrath, even as others. Now, reason number one for the wrath of God is because of man's rebellion toward God. But I see another reason this morning, back in Romans chapter 1. Reason number two for the wrath of God is because of man's revelation of God. Man's revelation of God. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now listen, if you never saw a Bible in your life, you're still accountable for sin. You know why? Because all of nature preaches the gospel to you. All of nature screams, there is a creator, there is a maker of me. You see the sun come up in the morning and you know God put her there. I mean, all of creation testifies to the truth of God's reality. Now, what is this truth that man suppresses? Listen, it is the very revelation of God himself. See, God has a strong desire to reveal himself to man. Let's notice some of them. Some of the ways that God reveals himself to men. How about the place of God's revelation? Look at verse 19. The place. Look at the place of God's revelation to man. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, where? In them. Doesn't say to them. It says in them. Now listen very carefully. He's saying that God has revealed himself to every human being in their inner man. There is a desire in every person, whether they admit it or not, to know God. God put it there. God created you with a vacuum that only he can fill. That's why people seek after all the kinds of false teachings and cults and the occult and false religion. Because they're seeking God. They don't know it. Because God put that vacuum in them so that they would seek him. The truth of God is manifest, verse 19, in them. John 1:9 says, he was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ lit the candle of your life. In other words, he gave you life. And somehow, deep inside, we know that. We've been granted life. Even though most won't admit it, like Bill Nye, the science guy. Now, I see another reason. Another way that man knows the revelation of God. Notice the power of God's revelation. In verse 20. For the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying in verse 20 that God may be known by the power of his creation, which he not only made, but sustains in its current state of existence. Go with me to Psalm 19. Hold your place in Romans. In Psalm 19, look at this passage concerning God's creative act. In Psalm 19, look with me at verse 1. David writes, by the Holy Spirit, the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look up in the sky and you see the sun, or at night you see the stars and the moon and all the beautiful celestial orbits, it declares something to the world. What? Verse 1. The glory of God. It declares the glory of God. And the firmament, the atmosphere, showeth his handiwork. The clouds and all, the birds and all that. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. It's showing you there is a God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All the world hears the voice of creation. Clearly. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he had set a tabernacle for the sun. Now, this is clearly saying that man can know God from his creation. Clearly. Notice several areas where God's person is on display to the universe, but more particularly to mankind. First, think of the seed that becomes a mighty tree and brings forth all kinds of fruit and leaves. Think of birds that are able to navigate by the stars, even when they are raised in a windowless room and shown an artificial sky. Birds are able to turn themselves in the right direction. They fly in perfect formation. How do they know that? Something else. Think that there are giant telescopes that can view objects that are over 4 billion light years away. That is a distance of 25 million septillion miles. You can't even measure that. Fourthly, think that most scientists now believe that this massive universe came into existence at one specific point in time. They call it the Big Bang. Listen. Amongst major scientists today, evolution is becoming out of vogue. Many now suspect that a higher intelligence had everything to do with it. Yeah. Something else. Think that at any given instant, there are over 1,800 major storms in operation on planet Earth at any given time. The energy needed to create and sustain those storms, like the one we're getting this morning, amounts to an incredible figure of 1,130,235,000,000 horsepower. Wow! That is a lot of power. That's the power of God. Something else. Think. There are over 10 million species of insects in the world. That's a lot of bugs, ladies. Seven. Think. The earth is 24,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6,588 sextillion tons, and hangs upon nothing. It spins at 1,000 miles an hour with absolute precision. It careens through space, orbiting around the sun at the speed of 67,000 miles per hour. That's how fast we're going, folks, on planet Earth. Yet we don't fly off. It's a miracle. Listen carefully. In a yearly orbit, the Earth circles the Earth 580 billion miles in 1 year. Think that the head of a comet can be from 10,000 to 1 million miles long. It can travel at a speed of 350 miles per second. Think that the sun's radiated energy, if it could be converted into horsepower, it would be equivalent to 500 million, million, billion horsepower. Each second, it consumes about 4 million tons of matter. Wow! What a God we serve! Something else. Think that light from the sun travels at 186,281 miles per second. At this rate, it would take light 125,000 years just to travel across our own galaxy, the Milky Way, which is just one galaxy amongst billions, as Carl Sagan would say, in the universe. Now, imagine that all of this just happened by chance. No way! God did all these things to prove to man that he is real and that he possesses great power. No wonder that Bible declares the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. I want you to think for a moment, folks, about what I said about the Earth orbiting the sun. Do you realize the Earth is traveling at 67,000 miles per hour, and yet it travels in a circle? Any scientist, I took physics in high school, will tell you if this thing is going that fast, it would continue on a straight course. It wouldn't circle something indefinitely. Somebody is controlling that thing. You've got to grasp what he's saying in the Word of God. There is no possible way that this creation could continue in its current state without a divine director. It's impossible. But thirdly, now, the purpose, notice the purpose of God's revelation. Back to Romans chapter 1. Notice the purpose of God's revelation to mankind. Look at verse 20 again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now listen very carefully. The purpose of God's creation and revelation of himself to mankind is to force man to a moment of decision. Did you hear what I said? It's all for one express purpose, to force you to make a decision. I'm going to love this God that made me and all these things, or I'm going to reject him and go my own way. That's it. That is the purpose of his creation. Listen to me. God's desire this morning is that every person would bow before him in humble repentance and worship of his son. However, not all will. Therefore, God has given man every conceivable revelation of himself and has left those who refuse to get right with God without any excuse for their continued state of sin. Look at verse 20. He says at the end of that verse, so that they are without excuse. Based on what, Paul? The rest of verse 20. The creation of the world, whereby God is clearly seen by the things that he's made. I see a third reason this morning of why God's wrath is revealed from heaven. And that third reason this morning is because of man's rejection of God. Man's rejection of God. Look at verse 21. Don't miss this. 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What's this verse 21 saying? It's saying that man by nature rejects God. And because of man's rejection of God, God will pour out his wrath upon him. Listen now, I want to give you two things concerning this rejection of God. First, it's a reckless choice. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see that? When they knew God, they refused to magnify and exalt God as God. They had the opportunity to glorify him, to serve him, to love him. Their primary goal, listen to me, was the glorification of self. This is what we call secular humanism. The secular humanists have their manifesto. That's their Bible. And they declare plainly on page 1 that man is his own God. There is no God. Man is God.
Amen.
That's secular humanism, folks. It is out of the pit of hell. And that is the reason the wrath of God will come. Because of man's rejection of God. They gave no glory to God, first of all. Look at that in verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. He's saying they gave God no glory. Folks, do you realize this morning that look at the empty pews in this church. The majority of people today do not give God any glory at all. They stuff their faces with their paycheck, with their food they buy with their paycheck, and they don't acknowledge God.
Amen.
For a morsel of food that they eat. They don't acknowledge that came from the hand of God. They don't glorify God. They don't give him credit for anything. My bank account and my big fancy boat. No, anything you have is from God. Something else though. They gave God no gratitude. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were what? Thankful. Neither were they thankful. Folks, this generation is scary, man. I'm sorry. But this new generation, they are scary. They have no thankfulness to God. They are full of ingratitude. I want it now and make it quick. I mean, they don't appreciate anything. They have no respect for authority. And it's a scary generation. I'm telling you, Solomon spoke of a generation that was wise in their own eyes. A generation that feared not God. And I believe that this generation is that generation he spoke of. Why? Amen. They gave God no gratitude. Listen to me. While they deny God's being, they take all the things that he gives them to teach them about himself, and they use it for their own selfish gains without a single thought ever being given to their great creator.
Amen.
No thankfulness. Paul says they're unthankful, unholy. They made a reckless choice. But observe secondly, the resulting condition. Look with me at verse 21 again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's a spiritual darkness like a leprosy taking over their souls, folks. Oh, I hope somebody's listening today. They rejected the Lord and his truth, and they were given over to wretched lives. Note what the rest of this verse says about their condition. Verse 21. They became what?
Vain
in their imaginations. You know what that means? It means a hollow life, an empty life, a life not worth living. You know why the suicide rate is so high in the world today? It's because people don't have a reason for living. Because the devil has them right where he wants them, segregated away from the living God. No peace, no joy, no contentment. And life is empty without Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning. They rejected the Lord and his truth, and they became vain in their imaginations. That word vain means worthless, by the way. Their life became futile. A futile existence. They fill their days with their own selves. They live according to their evil imaginations. And it makes them miserable. Thinking they can do what Miley Cyrus has a new song. It's our party, we can do what we want. Yeah, you can do what you want for a time period, but the day of judgment's coming. You know, folks, listen to me. Something else. Theirs is a horrible life. Look at that in verse 21 again. Theirs is not only an empty life, it's a horrible life, verse 21. Their foolish heart was darkened. Now, this verse says that when they turned their backs on the light of God's truth, their foolish heart was darkened by sin. What men seem not to understand is that the only alternative to light is darkness. You're either in the light and on your way to heaven, or you are in darkness and on the way to hell. There's no neutral ground in this game. Now, darkness is satanic and it's eternally damning. Verse 21. Look at that. Their foolish heart was darkened. They're full of the devil. Putting it bluntly. Oh, folks, this is serious this morning. Now, we've seen that God's wrath is revealed from heaven because of man's rebellion toward God. We've seen his wrath comes because of man's revelation of God. We've seen his wrath comes because of man's rejection of God. But finally, notice with me fourthly, a fourth reason for God's wrath is because of man's reaction to God. Look at verse 22. Man's reaction to God. In verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Like, that's idolatry, by the way. Like, made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, in man's reaction to God's revelation of himself, it's twofold. It's a twofold reaction. First, he reacts in foolish regression. Look at verse 22. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay? What he's saying here is they enact a foolish regression. Instead of being wise and fearing God and serving God, they become foolish. They become fools. And they serve their own selves. You see that in verse 22?
Amen.
It's a foolish regression. It's not a progression. They're not going forward. They're going backward. When man turns away from the Lord and closes his eyes to the truth of God, he really thinks he is being wise. He thinks he knows better than God. But he doesn't. Amen? And let me make a statement, church. Get a little bit bold this morning. Any man that rejects this book is a fool. He's a fool. Why? Because he thinks he knows better than God. Nobody knows better than God. I'm so glad. But something else. In man's reaction to God, not only does he react in foolish regression, but he reacts in false religion. He reacts in a false religion of some sort. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now, listen carefully. Man says no to God, and then he turns around and invents things to worship. Yeah. Man says, you know that Psalm 14 and Psalm 53? It says, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The Hebrew construction reads like this. The fool had said, no, God. That's how it reads in the Hebrew. The fool had said, no, God. No, God. Not only that there is no God, but he's saying, no, God. I won't believe on you. Now, when they turn their back and say, no, God, they turn around and invent something to worship. Isn't that bizarre? Listen, don't tell me nobody's got, somebody doesn't believe in a God. Everybody has a God. Now, it may not be the true and living God, but everybody's got a God. You say, well, I don't worship anything but myself. You're your own God. Hello? Talk about foolish. What the Lord is telling us here is that man is a religious creature by nature. He seeks something to worship, whether it be money, gold, a mansion, or a statue. Man, if he doesn't worship God, he will manufacture a God to worship. Mark it down. And secular humanists will tell you straight up, there is no God. I'm God. Well, they're their own God. But they have a God that they worship. They worship themselves. Secular humanists. I've had encounters with them. These guys are violent. These guys are nasty. They got demons, let me tell you. They ran me off quick. Listen, he reacts in false religion. Do you know why we have so many cults and false religions in the world today? Listen, it's because of Romans chapter 1. Man invents his own God when he rejects the God of this Bible. My message this morning is the wrath of God and why. Now, in closing, turn with me for the result. I want you to see the result of man's rejection of God. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Don't miss this. Here's the result of the rejection of God by mankind. Wherefore, God also gave them up. What? Wait a minute. I thought they gave God up. Yeah, they did. They gave God up. So look at verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. That's sexual immorality. Through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So change the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affect. That's filthy affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Amen.
What? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. No exposition required here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being what?
Filled.
Not just a little bit. Not just a drop or two. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. Beloved, my message this morning is most serious. It's the wrath of God and why. And as we read through the closing verses of chapter 1, can anybody hear the shadows of America in the distance reading through these verses? This is where we've arrived, folks. When you paint the rainbow colors of the gay agenda on the White House and Washington, you are stating that we have gone to Romans chapter 1 as a nation.
Amen.
How sad this morning. Beloved, soon and very soon, we're expecting the rapture of the church and the commencement of the 7-year tribulation period. Daniel 70th week, as Sarah said. But during this time, divine judgment in the form of God's wrath will be poured out on planet Earth in an unprecedented manner. And when sin comes to a head under the reign of Antichrist, some of its terrifying features are named. For instance, Daniel 12:1, great trouble. Revelation 14:7, judgment. Zephaniah 1:15, wrath. Joel 1:15, destruction. A Amos 5:8, darkness. Isaiah 24:21, punishment. Zechariah 1:8, God's anger. Zephaniah 1:15, desolation. And no human being should have to go through that.
Amen.
Because God has made it possible. Verse 16. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, for all mankind to be saved from the wrath of God, if they only will. Oh, what a serious message this morning, beloved. The wrath of God. And why? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that we will never suffer the wrath of God. Those of us who know and love Jesus Christ, we've entered into an everlasting covenant of life with you. We've received you, we adore you, we bow before you and worship your glory. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit wooed us and drew us to the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that experience of new birth, regeneration in our lives. But, oh God, our hearts break this morning for America. Lord, a once Christian nation, the president declared, is no longer a Christian nation. Oh Lord, we pray for revival before it's too late. We pray for America this morning, oh God. My heart is breaking over the events of this past week. Lord, we pour out our hearts before thy throne on the behalf of America. Lord, you said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sin. We're praying this morning, oh God, for our great nation. Lord, we're praying that you would bring a godly leader for America. A conservative Christian Republican president, oh God. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up righteous leaders that will lead America in paths of righteousness for the Lord's sake, oh God. That we would once again become the light of the world that you called us to be some 250 years ago. Lord, we're so grateful today that we're still sending missionaries around this world. And we pray that we could have the opportunity that you might extend grace and mercy in these last days of the last days, that you might extend a little period of time for America to repent. Lord, it is possible for America to come back to her God, the true and living God of the Bible. But Lord, we pray, we know the time is short. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move like never before. We pray that we'd have standing room only in this church. Oh Lord, as we see souls seeking the truth coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Lord, send a revival. And Lord, prior to that revival, we pray that if we must go through tribulation and persecution to wake us up, that you would bring it, Lord. You know best. Father knows best. Lord, do what you have to do to wake up America. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnal at this time for a closing hymn. A closing hymn this morning. Let's stand. And let's open up to 62. Hymn 62 this morning, church, really says it all. And this is exactly what America needs. Hymn 62. Sir Isaac Watts again. And we're going to sing the first, second, and the fourth. Altar is open. Maybe you just want to come and pray for America.
My Savior, please. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it my crimes that
now I'm happy all the day. Why? I received my sight. I received my sight.
Amen.
And folks, there's so many people out there that you know, that I don't know, that need to receive spiritual eyesight from the King of Kings. Reach them. Give them a gospel tract. Tell them Jesus loves them. Amen?
Amen.
They don't have to suffer the wrath of God. They can have the joy of heaven.
Amen.
It's free. Brother Kyle dismisses some prayer. Don't forget, tonight at 6, if you can join us, fifth mystery of the New Testament.
Lord, we're so happy to be gathered with you this morning, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for keeping us ever mindful of the fact that there is only one God, that you are the one and the only living God. No matter, you know, what all of these other entities manage to try and inflate and plant in our minds and the beliefs they try to perpetrate as being true and bring people to go by all the devious actions that go on in this world. We just pray, Lord, that you keep us walking that straight and narrow path, walking beside you, with you. And Lord, just help us to try and guide others to that path, to help them along this way. We thank you for the fact that you constantly watch over and keep us, and guide us to keep us out of harm's way, Lord. We pray you'd bring us back this evening to delve into the fifth great mystery that's coming. We thank you for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.